be honest. I brought the little book.
Can you talk to me for the rest of the time? I want to apologize.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm very kind of everybody from the Eastern Cape, the member of this committee. Chairperson, before I want to, because the research will be offline, so I don't know if in the, that I can be, I can't pass them, I'm going to excuse myself.
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Onel De Beer. I'm from the Western Cape.
Good morning. My name is Louis Demande from Pietermaritzburg, KwaZulu-Natal. I'm the member of the committee.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Anna Boss. I'm the committee secretary for this committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Joy Watson, and I'm responsible for managing research support for this committee.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members. I'm Kasha Adams, the researcher to the portfolio committee, who is assisting at the moment the presentation for this committee today. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson and members. My name is Crystal Levendale. I'm the researcher on gender to the portfolio committee, of course, assisting our presentation today.
Our guests can also introduce themselves.
Good morning, Commission members. My name is Lucy Johnson. I'm from the Children's Institute at the University of Cape Town.
Good morning, committee members. I'm Alex Dove. I'm just here on behalf of the PMG.
Thank you very much. Let me share last deal with apologies. With me, I have two formal written apologies. One is from Member Morocco, the other one is from Louisa. Oh, Mr. Kamete. Mr. Mukwaro is around the building in the hospital. The rest of the members, I cannot account for. Are there any other apologies?
Oh,
Madisha was here, she has to leave, eh? And then, any other apologies that members might be aware of, so that we can be recorded? No. From administration, are there apologies? I've got an apology for Ms. Van Leyen. She's got a computer to work. This is a policy for the research into this committee carried out there. He's currently having an operation. Okay, thank you. If that is all that I have for this, I'm going to deal with minutes of the previous meeting. No? Okay. We'll then go straight to the Vicar's report. I'll then, unless if there's anything that I have to do, we'll then go straight to the Vicar's report.
Thank you, Chairperson, and
just to explain that, as I indicated earlier, the research to this committee is off ill. What the administration has decided is that the mandate of this committee is very broad, so it requires two dedicated researchers. And so we'll have a person dealing with gender, which is Gary Loda, and we're currently in the process of employing, there was a moratorium on the filling of positions, but we're currently in the process of employing a researcher to deal with children and disability issues. So in interim, we've got the research from the portfolio committee here, given that we don't have the research assistance committee here. So we'll take you through the content around what's been happening over the course of the past 5 years, what are the issues that were highlighted that still need to be dealt with as part of the legacy of the LJMC, the Joint Monitoring Committee, and what are some of the key issues that the committee would need to engage with. So Crystal will take us through some of the issues from a gender and women's rights perspective, and Kashifa will focus on some of the issues from a children and persons with disability perspective. But I just want to give a broad start by giving a broad overview to members, particularly if there's anybody who was not involved in the old Joint Monitoring Committee. In the past, before this fourth parliament, we had what were called Joint Monitoring Committees, and there were two of them that dealt with the issues that are currently the mandate of this committee. So because there was no ministry, a dedicated ministry dealing with women and children and disability issues, we had what we call these joint structures, which were comprised of members of both the NA and the NCLP, and their role really was they couldn't deal with legislation per se. Legislation wasn't ever sent to them or referred to them, but their role was to monitor and consider the implications of legislation from the perspective of socially vulnerable groups. And as indicated, we had two structures, one dealing with women and then one dealing with children, youth, and persons with disabilities. Now in the fourth parliament, with the president having announced that in the cabinet there is now this ministry dealing with women, children, and persons with disabilities, we've actually set up a portfolio committee and a select committee, and then also do away with the joint monitoring committee. And what that means for the committee is that it would function very differently from the old JMC, because now legislation can be referred to the committee, for example, but the committee also has a very clear role in terms of engaging with the department's budget, with the department's programs, and in terms of overseeing all the work of the department from the perspective of socially vulnerable groups. One of the key issues is whether the department is now in the process of having drafted a draft strategic plan, which has not yet been tabled in Parliament, but this committee would need to engage with that strategic plan as well. But one of the key issues has been, is the role of the new ministry to come up with programs that target women, children, and persons with disabilities, or is it to oversee the work of all government departments doing, so for example, looking at the Department of Labour from the perspective of social vulnerable groups, or is it both? Is it both to do programs, dedicated programs of its own, and oversee the work of all government departments? So basically, you know, what I'm trying to say is that the work of this committee in overseeing the work of that department and possibly all other departments from the perspective of social vulnerable groups is a very broad mandate, which means that this committee has a very important role to play. You know, the Constitution enshrines the rights of socially vulnerable groups. And, you know, while we have very progressive legislation in place, we still live in a social context where socially vulnerable groups are rated particularly vulnerable in this country because of issues such as poverty and so on. And you know, we have not seen, although there has been much change since 1994, we still have very significant challenges facing socially vulnerable groups. One of the challenges of this committee is also around the issue of the mandate of the committee. We're dealing with this with the portfolio committee as well. We tried to get a copy of the mandate of the committee, and the legal advisors don't have that mandate. But the ministry, for example, initially was allocated youth, and so the PC was established with the mandate of also dealing with youth. But then the ministry took away youth and added the elderly. This select committee was established with the mandate of children, women, and persons with disabilities, so no youth, but there's no elderly people either. So we need to look at
what is the formal mandate? So that's the first challenge. So be clear about what is our role, what is our oversight role, and in relation to which socially vulnerable groups. We from research have been trying to get over this mandate, but I think you know we need to go now through the chairperson needs to go through the house chairperson. So we're clear about that from the outset. The next big thing is as I alluded to earlier on, is to engage with the strategic plan of the department as well as the budget. And up until this point, there's been no clarity on the budget. You know, what they indicated was that they used the money from the presidency because the budget had not been allocated in terms of the budget when it was announced by former Minister of Finance, Mr. Manuel. So they were drawing from the votes of the presidency, using the money from the old from the OSW and the Office of the Rights of the Child and the OSDP. So the committee would need to engage with the strategic plan and the budget, whether appropriate resources have been allocated for the department to do its work. I just want to speak to one of or two key challenges. I mean, one of the things that we looked at with the old JNCs, there was a huge problem around organizing meetings at a practical level. So the JNC, when we looked at, when we tried to trace how many times they met in a year, you know, at one point we were looking at it amounted to something like 2 or 3 meetings per term. And there were practical reasons when we tried to engage why was this happening. There were a number of practical reasons. For example, sometimes the NCOP sat on a Friday, sometimes, you know, other things were happening on a Friday. So the Friday morning meetings were challenging. And I think that this committee has been allocated Friday again, but I think, you know, through the work or however we do it, we need to address the problems around why it would be old joint working committees. The committee only meets 2 or 3 times in a term because that is clearly insufficient. If we're talking 3 or 4 socially vulnerable groups and we have to look at their issues from across all government departments from an oversight perspective, the work of this committee is loaded. It's important. There needs to be delivery. And we just look at we've lost a whole term and this committee is only meeting for the first time now. Other meetings that happen have to be called off. So a term has gone by, and in terms of the portfolio committee, the counterpart in the NA, work is up and running there. They've been meeting every week since the term started. So that is a challenge, and it's a concern we need to look at and try to understand how we address that. Then just in terms of, you know, from here we need to move to a point of strategic plan and adopting a program and a vision for the next 5 years in terms of what the committee would like to accomplish. There's some issues outstanding, and the researchers will talk to that from the old JNC, the way at work. It needs to be followed through on pertaining there, so this committee needs to take on some of that. But then also new issues and a vision around what are we trying to achieve in terms of socially vulnerable groups, and how do we structure that? How do we take that on at a practical level? So you have, say it's dealing with children, women, persons with disability, how are we going to manage if we do justice to each of those groups? Does it mean that we take one meeting to deal with issues around children and the next meeting around women? I mean, I'm not saying this is how it has to be, but these are the things that we need to consider. How do we deal with it in a way that makes sense? Are we dealing with we're catering for all the issues, poverty, economic development, social development, social grants, you know, whatever the issues may be, that we're cognizant of all of them and we're addressing them all. And clearly this means that, you know, we need to look at how we ensure that meetings happen at least once a week. I'm going to now, just to say also in addition to monitoring the work of the department, you know, the committee also has a role to play around. There are a number of international treaties that have been signed around children's rights, the rights of people with disabilities and women's rights. And the committee has a role to play in monitoring progress in South Africa's delivery in this regard. So clearly, again, you know, a number of things this committee needs to work on. At this point, I'm just going to hand over to Crystal so that she can speak to some of the issues around women that are priorities and as a starting point for discussion for members to look at.
Thank you, Joyce. Good morning, everyone.
Maybe before you start, let's check with members if they would want to raise issues with regards to what John has said on continuing with presentations and
Thank you. I've got a few questions, and the first one is I want to know, is there any policies at this stage in place? Because if there's no policies, I can't see how can we go on health meetings and all this kind of thing and tackle issues. So there must be definitely policies in all these spheres. And then the other thing, the second question is the budget. I want to know, you said the budget is not really in place. So if the budget is not in place, how are we going to function? How are we going to support women, children, and disability people? And how are we going to have oversight? I think that is a need we must do. And then the third question is, I can't see that we handled all the issues in one meeting. So we must have it separately. One meeting women, the other meeting children, and the other meeting disabilities. So I can't see that we can handle it in one meeting. Of course, it's a lot of issues to be handled in one meeting. And then we must also remember we sit also in other committees. And to have a meeting each and every week, we are not going to attend all the meetings. And then we miss out. So I'm afraid if we are not doing that, where all of us are together, we are going to lose and miss important issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Kinnegan. I think on the budget issue, maybe let me try and ask if I am... What I'm going to say is not official, Member Kinnegan, but I don't know from the last meeting that we had, the capital meeting, we were informed that each and every committee has been allocated $250,000. Until end of August. So all of us, we're not taking resources from a single pool, as they said before, but each and every committee has been allocated $250,000. So we can start turn around. That's $450,000 in the and then I think I partly agree with what Mr. Kornavan is suggesting with regard to us dealing with issues separately, but not dealing with the way he has put it, you know, I think it will drag forever. You know, if we have to deal with women this week, maybe next time, because it's also bringing in the issue of us meeting every week. So one way or the other, it will not be possible for us to meet on a weekly basis. So maybe as and when we meet, so that we can be sure that we are dealing with issues, we so that we can be sure that we get to the core of the issues. Maybe we should deal with two groups as and when we have meetings. You know? Maybe this time we deal with women and children. Maybe the next meeting is, I think if we suppress it that way, then we'll be able to focus. The other issue is with regards to our formal mandate. I think that is one. Because of you hear that 1 minute we also supposed to take care of elderly people. 1 minute youth is with us, 1 minute youth is no longer with us. I think I have to formally take this letter up. Maybe I can just get a letter and, I think that needs to be satisfied too. I agree with you that the socially vulnerable groups, it's got a very vast mandate, and we cannot just limit ourselves to them. So I think the department must satisfy to us, the chair must satisfy to us.
Thanks, Chair. I think if we zoom into the presentation, it will assist to answer the questions around the amount of work that is that is before us, just from the legacy report itself. When I went through it, I saw there's quite a lot of issues that are just within our own functioning as such, besides the oversight over the department itself. There's matters to attend to, the sector parliaments that we need to strategize, work about. There's consultations with the stakeholders. Some of them are here today. People who have interest, who've been with the sectors that we're dealing with since the onset of these committees from the JMC and all. And there is work in progress around the reports that the country, the government has to do in the obligations, international relations, international obligations that we have, the Disability Convention, the children's things, and I think the women's things as well. So the point I'm making here is that I think there's lots to preoccupy ourselves with. I'm not too sure whether I fully concur with the position that says we must separate the city. But I want to emphasize this, that I decided, and of course being a part of this sector, perhaps a beneficiary or a consumer in this sector, of course that this committee serves as a vulnerable group member myself. I decide to be an activist more than be an MP in this committee. When I deal with these matters, I'm an activist. So I prefer that we deal with these things with that heightened conscience that we are helping, and we're not just an ordinary portfolio committee where we just receive reports and great comments, but we will be engaged ourselves personally in some of the matters. I think I want to put that on record. Chair, that's how this committee, I would prefer it to work. Therefore, meaning Chair, that I would rather we try our best to score as much as we can on Fridays, and that 3 hours, Chair, is quite not a bad, not little time, really, if you work effectively and productively, we could get it. And then the mandate issues, Chair, I think it's, I'm just noting it for you that we do need to, I don't think there is a resolution yet in the House, I haven't seen it anywhere, where this committee is therefore properly established. So I think it's a matter for the presiding officers to really get that going, and I think that's what needs to happen here now, is that we need to have that clarified. But also we need to always remember that there is a social development, and they have an Older Persons Act that they are monitoring and implementing. So whenever we decide to take elderly with us, or to take whoever we're taking in on board, we must look into the relations with the other departments. That there's already a confusion, because the social development wanted to spearhead a disability legislation. Now, we don't know whether it's going to fall yet, or it's going to fall if that goes ahead. So what I'm suggesting, Chair, is that this perhaps get to the legacy, the highlights of the legacy for today, and then we schedule a meeting for them to engage and prepare for the third term, because we definitely need a third term. Thanks, Chair.
Mr.
McCorrell? Thank you, Chair. It seems the committee is very much behind with the work. I am one of the members of this committee, and for the first time that this committee is meeting today, I don't know whether probably you must have met in my absence. I belong to so many committees, some of them you just can't tell the others in my mind. So I would suggest the chair that
there is no clear indication as to what we need to do, how we need to do it, when we need to do it. So in that, I would suggest that I think the committee must meet and draw a work plan, draw a plan which would sort of give us a direction, as to how are we going to conduct the work of this committee. I think each and every committee has got a management committee within itself, which consists of the chairperson, the secretary of the committee, and some few members of the committee itself, and that small group then forms the management committee. And I think it is that committee that asks for, if there's anyone, then can sit down and draw a plan for our, for our operation, so that at least we can have a, a direction. And that plan can then also work as a driving force for the committee, so that we can move and be at the same wavelength with other committees. Thank you.
Thank you. I think the committee is taking a resolution that the site is missing, and that we will be seeking later funding and plan the agreement of which I'm making. And Mr. Mukhoro, the how and what and when and why. I think the first plan that we will simply emphasize them on there, that's where we're going to come from. I don't think we can just operate without a planning. It will not be possible in the case. So we need that as soon as possible. Maybe towards the end of the meeting, we must then agree on the date. For the strategic plan, but let us allow today's meeting to proceed as planned, so that at least we get a foundation as to what happened before us. I think that is very important. Let us at least get this latest report. Let's listen. Let's ask questions where we think we need to ask questions. But also bear in mind that I think the whole of next week we'll be attending the podcast. Both MA and SOP. Yes. Immediately after that, then we can plan, we can get a date that is suitable for all of us, and maybe 2 days, it can be around 6,000, but that we'll deal with. Then, yes? 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 No? Oh, okay, that's fine. Then maybe we can just get a date. Yes?
Yes? That's a matter of caution. For these committee meetings are clashing. I want to propose that the cluster chairs meet and sit down, so they'll be able to say, to verify these dates before we took a firm decision on Friday. As the previous said, the speaker said that we also have committees which we are defining. And we don't want to neglect this one. So, but if these committees are clashing within the same cluster, it might that become problematic for us to attend. Thank you.
Before you move to let me clarify something again. I think the reason why we could not meet and we could not insist that we should meet, and the reason why again we did not keep up, we are unable to keep up with other committees. I'm speaking under correction, I end up with other finance, is that other committees were dealing with budget goals. And we're not dealing with budget goals. We did not have that. So we were actually requested to go give support to all committees that were participating on the budget goal. That's the other reason why we could not see, for the past months or so. So please, members,
not bear with us on that one. Thank you, Chair. I think we will have a problem if we say Friday because what I have been observing throughout is that there is a lot of clash of committee meetings. I think what would be the best for us to do is rather than submit to where planning is done in total, not all the committees. So that within that, then we can also go as this committee at a slot. But if we say, Friday is 7 times for participating in the committee, I don't think it will help us. As it is now, I'm having the finance committee which I should be attending now, and I feel really that they are discussing issues that I have passionate interest in, and I could not be part of the clash of this committee, and I then decided that because this committee is the first time I will be attending it today, let me sacrifice that one, but really it doesn't step in front. So I feel that we should move away from saying we set aside Friday as a day for the meeting of this.
I'll just want to check the committee to some of the key challenges that have, in terms of gender and women's issues. Some still coming from the diabetes and also issues of continuous and the challenges for women and implications for the committee with regard to that. The committee has a very important role to play in terms of oversight in relation to gender classification. And so, do you think that to be taken into account when the committee is analysing legislation and budget policy that progress? In South Africa, we've got very forward-looking gender legislation put into place, but without adequate allocation in terms of budget and in terms of implementation and monitoring of these things, it's an obstacle in terms of succeeding for legislation for women. On the slide, there you'll see the key policy and legislation issues for the committee to engage with. So, what I'd like to highlight to you there is the first thing, which is policy. That is the overarching policy of the Africa, which is the National Gender Policy Framework. In terms of that, there's been discussions and the concept that for the ministry, which is proposed that the policy should be elevated to the level of an act, giving it more clout for women. And in terms of legislation, there are three columns there in terms of legislation passed, in terms that to be considered. So legislation that's been passed in the past parliamentary term is the Sexual Offences and Related Matters Amendment Act. And you'll see I've put the Domestic Violence Act there, even though it's 1998, but in terms of implementation of the Domestic Violence Act, there are lots of gaps and problems around that. So it's also something that the committee needs to actively engage with. In terms of legislation that is process, in last year, the traditional court bill was brought before the JNC on women, and a gender analysis was done, and implications for women in the traditional court bill. The JNC submitted submission to the Department of Justice, to the Petroleum Committee on Justice, and it's still in service, and it's been thought that there will possibly be a joint venture between the committee, between the two committees in terms of public hearing for the traditional court for. So we'll have to get more clarity on the progress even down to that. And then legislation to be considered that's been introduced, or that's forthcoming, is the reform of customary law and professional regulation of related matters law, the Dr. Macy Partnership Bill and the Commission Committee on Trafficking in Persons Bill. So if you go back to the first column where it talks about policies, some talks between civil society and government bodies, there's been a need to look at the U.S. National Gender Policy Framework, especially because some parts of it outline certain institutional mechanisms which have to be put in place. For example, all departments have to have gender focal points and gender policies and the like. And also the establishment of the JSC falls under the National Gender Policy Framework. So not having these things in place can contravene parts of the policy, so there's definitely need to look at that. So yeah, I don't know if there's any more questions about it, we can discuss that later. If we look at the next slide, yes, we've got our national legislation, but it's also, as well as mentioned by us, there's lots of international obligations that we are also committed to. So in terms of the International Commission for Women, the most important ones there at the moment are the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, or CEDAW, and the Study Protocol on Gender Development. If you look at the first two, South Africa is required to submit country reports on a regular basis. We submitted our first CEDAW report in the 1990s, and I think it's every 4 years thereafter that we submit regular reports. We submitted a combined second, third, and fourth country report in this year, which makes the report in terms of speed or 10 years late, which shows that there's definitely a problem in terms of country reporting, which is also a priority for the committee, because the committee can hold responsible departments to account in the up of the country report. In terms of the Study Protocol on Gender Development, we signed, but we have not yet ratified that protocol, and primarily because we recommended that they send it to us to the before Parliament before we ratify it. So that's also another choice for the committee to look at. And then just to highlight, in terms of the Millennium Development Goals, that there are also specific issues relating to women and the competence limits by 2014, especially in promoting gender equality and maternal health. And then I just highlighted the issue also the Bayesian platform for action and what that is achieved. And also something that needs to be considered when the committee is looking at budget and policy discussion that is in line with some of these agreements. And then the protocol for the African Charter on Human and People's Rights and the Rights of Women. Once again, it was introduced for the 24th of November. And I haven't been able to find out whether we used a particular country report in 2007, because it's required to submit reports every 2 years. So definitely the country report on international commitments is a problem and something that the commitment is actively engaged on. In the next slide are just some of the key issues for consideration for the committee under this term. Upgraded under institutional mechanisms and then other vital issues affecting women. In terms of institutional mechanisms, we've now got the ministry and department, but we need to find out how things relate to function, what will the relationship be between all entities, and that includes the committee. In terms of monitoring the implementation of legislation, in terms of policies and strategies, also what is it that world that this committee will be responsible for and how this can happen. In terms of a national gender machinery, there are key elements of the gender machinery which are not in operation anymore, especially in terms of the JNC, and also now that the Office on the Status of Women, how, you know, what is the status of that, how are things working, what is the way. And in terms of reporting and implementation, like I said, with the country reports, also looking at the implementation of the implementation.
key issues that affect women that the committee should consider in the next term is issues of violence against women, economic and field development, economic empowerment, access to basic services, because there are many women who are so rich, particularly in rural areas, who don't have access to basic services. Issues around poverty and education, and then issues of health, quality of care, within accessibility, and for the high rate of maternal mortality, and issues related to HIV and AIDS. So that's just an overview of key things that the committee should consider and things that have been that is in the last term. So classic women's jurisdiction on children and youth and sex disability.
Thank you, Crystal. Now turning to key issues pertaining to children and persons with disabilities. When we look at issues around policy and legislation, up on the slide I have policy and legislation similar to what Crystal presented in terms of format. I just like to indicate to members that the first line covers key matters pertaining to children, youth and disability. And my proviso around youth is, bearing in mind that children are all persons under the age of 18, is an overlapping category in terms of youth, in terms of youth defined according to the National Youth Policy as persons 14 to 35. So for children, youth overlapping category is 14 to 18. And that the likelihood is that when the committee engages in relation to women, you're going to be dealing with young women who are youth. In terms of engaging with issues pertaining to persons with disabilities, you have youth with disabilities. So even though youth per se is not within the mandate of the committee, inadvertently you're consistently dealing with youth. Notwithstanding that, in terms of key policies for children, we've got the National Program of Action for Children, and in terms of disability, we've got the Integrated Disability Strategy. Now that we have ratified the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disability, a particular policy framework has been developed by the presidency to look at how we're going to implement in domestic legislation the UN Treaty, as well as the public service policy with respect to matters pertaining to disability. Then in terms of legislation with respect to children and persons with disability to be considered, again urgent, what's been introduced is the Trafficking Persons Bill. In process, in terms of the form and publication bill, there's a particular clause that deals with matters pertaining to child pornography and child abuse images. In terms of the Social Assistance Amendment Bill, I mean Social Security, we have the Care Dependency Grant, there's the Disability Grant, Foster Care Grant, Child Support Grant, which all falls under the ambit of oversight and monitoring with respect to key matters pertaining to children and persons with disabilities, as well as the Refugees Amendment Bill, looking at matters pertaining to children therein. In terms of legislation that's passed, which the committee has pertinent role to play in terms of oversight, in terms of its implementation, is the Children's Act, the Child Justice Act, Sexual Offences Related Matters Act, given a high incidence of abuse and violence against perpetrators against children, women, as well as persons with disabilities. And again, I'm mentioning the National Youth Development Agency Act, because within there, we need to consider to what extent that act speaks to measures that relate to youth with disabilities and where children in that overlapping category is considered. More so, with respect to these policies and legislations, when we look at the ministry around women, children and persons with disabilities, we need to look back at, in terms of the overarching policies for disability, as well as children, to say, well, to what extent do these policies need to be reviewed, and where does the ministry come in terms of the review of these overarching policies. Again, in terms of treaties and commitments, just to highlight, for children, we've got the Convention on the Rights of the Child. Important to note, as with the CEDAW country report looking at women, for children, we're probably 10 years late as well. The last submission to the United Nations was in 2000. At the moment, we have completed a second country report, the third country report is in draft. It has yet to be approved by cabinet. And, yeah, that's particularly important that we need to follow up more so when these reports are submitted to the United Nations High Commission and the outcomes in terms of what the committee at the United Nations says, some Africa in terms of how we progress here too. In terms of the African Charter on the rights and welfare of the child, I was unable to track whether we ever submitted a country report there too, and that's of concern. In terms of persons with disabilities, as Honourable Mundy said, we have the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities that we've ratified, as well as the optional protocol. South Africa has been nominated as one of the key countries that will be piloting the implementation of this particular treaty. And our initial country report is due in 2010. So there again, the committee has a crucial role to engage with the Office of the Status of Persons with Disability to say, well, how far are we in terms of compiling the initial country report? Where are we obtaining basic information to put within that country report in terms of statistics? In terms of binding commitments, again, as with issues pertaining to women and gender, the Millennium Development Goals, all of them have relation to issues pertaining to children and affect persons with disabilities, and the target date is 2014. So two key things for the committee to bear in mind is one, issues about reporting with respect to these treaties, and the follow-up recommendations that come out of the report. In terms of issues affecting children, what we look at is in terms of what the previous Joint Monitoring Committee had engaged with around children, youth and persons with disabilities, and then the review of what government has done, grouped the key issues according to particular things, which for the committee is quite important to engage with. Firstly, around child protection. As I mentioned previously, gender-based violence and the impact around violence and abuse around children, child pornography, trafficking. Recently, in the media, we've seen issues around Okutwala emerge, the presidency, and the minister, the new ministry has done several site visits, and the reports that have come out of that. In terms of child protection, it's also important to bear in mind, it's not just about the statistics around that, but the services rendered to those children in need of social services and health care. Child survival and maternal mortality go hand in hand. Currently, the death rate for children under 1 and under 5 is unacceptably high. And in terms of monitoring Millennium Development Goals, by 2014, currently South Africa is unlikely to meet that target of reducing the infant mortality rate, that's the number of children dying under 1 per 1,000, as well as children under 5, the under 5 mortality rate. But more so looking at issues pertaining to survival of children holistically, it's expected to say children die from a range of preventable causes, such as diarrheal disease, pneumonia, injuries such as burns and motor vehicle accidents. And yes, HIV and AIDS, full features very high on the agenda. But more so, it's saying that we can't monitor any of these things without looking at issues around vital registration, the extent to which children are able to access healthcare services, and social services, and the majority of child deaths and malnutrition still persists. And therefore, when looking at survival, we need to be thinking about how our children and mothers and caregivers are surviving within communities and a range of services we need to be rendered. Social security, just to highlight again, three key grants, child support grant, foster care grant, and the care dependency grant, as well as the disability grant. In terms of education, key priorities is the importance of early childhood development. It's again been noted in the State of the Nation address, but also looking at access to education and the quality of education and concern around the dropout rates, particularly for older children. In terms of children in conflict with the law, it's the implementation of the Child Justice Act. In terms of provision of basic services, that we're needing to look at the extent to which basic services are able to be rendered not only to communities, but the extent to which children and persons with disabilities also access these particular services. And again, with MDG monitoring, it's not a separate issue.
monitor and ensure oversight unless you have appropriate disaggregated data, that information pertaining to the budget, respect to all of these issues and the line departments, and consistent monitoring and evaluation. Key issues pertaining to persons with disabilities. In terms of health care, again, we need to say to what extent are persons with disabilities able to access rehabilitation and not just assistive devices, and the range of assistive devices. In terms of transport and accessibility, it's again looking at the taxi capitalization and the bus rapid transport system. In terms of follow through from work done with the Joint Monitoring Committee around children with persons with disabilities on the rules of money, we can attest to previously it was noted from the disability sector that we needed to engage with persons with disabilities and the opportunities to access public transport. And maybe we should be considering a public participation initiative in which we hold yearly to year the extent to which persons with disabilities are able to access transport. In terms of social security, there's the monitoring and evaluation of grants. Currently, the care dependency grant is being reviewed, and the Human Sciences Research Council is doing a study to look at that. What had also been raised previously in the JMC was the concern around workers' compensation, that often there are many people who are injured, laid up in a public service hospital, and something happens in which they remain in the hospital because the compensation was not paid out. And there's a gap in the system. No one's looked at that. Key issue for consideration. In terms of education, it's the extent to which youth with disabilities are able to access opportunities for education. In terms of learners with special needs education, these schools are in appalling condition and need attention. Inclusive education goes hand in hand, as well as early childhood development. How are children with disabilities being able to access such initiatives? In terms of employment equity targets, government has not met the 2% target. At the moment, I think we are 0.02% or 0.4% in terms of achieving across all departments. This requires concerted oversight, a concerted review, and saying, well, why is it that we have not met this 2% target? In terms of economic empowerment, there is particularly high rates of unemployment amongst persons with disabilities. So we're needing to see to what extent, in terms of initiatives such as finance around SMEs, are persons with disabilities able to access such initiatives. Basic services, again, when we're looking at housing, water, sanitation, electricity, and roads, like with children, is to say, oh, to what extent are persons with disabilities able to access such services. Accessible media. The JMC has the Parents of African Language Board, and the SABC report to it around sign languages and accessible media, and I think that's of particular importance. Again, to highlight, oversight and monitoring and evaluation is important, but that requires disaggregated data and budgets with respect to these departments. Just to highlight again, for looking at functioning of the committee, I would concur with members around the importance of strategic planning. Just to link into last year, the JMC had done strategic planning, and we had obtained an external facilitator, and when we reviewed our progress, we had achieved 80% of what we intended doing, and that was with the committee sitting down saying realistically within a given year, practically, what are we able to do? And again, to highlight the importance of conferral, that it's important to look at how this committee confers with other committees in terms of its mandate and key issues which we mentioned. Just to put out issues around the institutional mechanisms, that there needs to be a review around the children's machinery and the disability machinery in light of the fact that we have a new ministry, and what are the implications. And practically, what is it that we mean by mainstreaming of children's rights and mainstreaming of disability? How would we monitor that? How would we oversee that? Sectoral parliament, to highlight again, there is a task team within parliament that's reviewing how best we need to operate around youth parliament and women's parliament. And to date, there's been no disability parliament. But again, that's something for the select committee to consider. In then putting together
thought, how best can we present the committee a way in which you can manage a range of issues in a way that's practical? And one of it is looking at grouping these issues according to themes. And in terms of managing the workload and issues around themes, the suggestion was that if the committee considers for discussions that you spend 70% of your time looking at the themes which I'll talk to, and then 50% of issues that looks at things which you have to do around budgets, annual reports, and then urgent matters or the active issues. So the proposed themes are for your discussion. They're not carved in stone. You're able to change them, move, edit, and so forth. But within 2009, the suggestion was that if the theme is around violent and socially vulnerable groups, you could collectively, within 2009, look at issues about abuse and neglect with respect to children, women, and persons with disabilities, draw in issues around school-based violence, trafficking, access to shelters, access to healthcare services with respect to violence and socially vulnerable groups, and the enforcement of legislation. And again, to pull out on 50 legislation, Domestic Violence and Child Justice and Children's Act. 2010, considering around survival and development, looking at monitoring issues pertaining to child survival, maternal health, HIV and AIDS, and year two, monitoring access to healthcare services and basic services, psychological and child management. 2011, it's around poverty and economic empowerment, grappling with issues around the poverty line, to what extent children, women, persons with disabilities are impoverished, are able to access social security, how government poverty alleviation strategies are actually benefiting or aiding the socially vulnerable groups, how SMEs are working or not, and to what extent women and persons with disabilities are able to access. 2012, looking at holistically education and skills development, consistently in that year, closely and oversight and monitoring around access to quality education, specifically around children with special needs, the review around CETAs, and less pertaining to funding and bursaries. And then in the last year, to say that even though there's a particular focus around has the ministry worked, to what extent has government program of action been implemented, and the machineries, are they effective? That even though you would look at that retrospectively, it can still be brought into each and every year of your work. But the 2013 is a consolidation of the work that you've done. And that, in a nutshell, is what's been proposed to the committee for your consideration and review. And just to reiterate what Joy and Crystal have said, we're particularly passionate about the work around socially vulnerable groups. We yet support the committee in whatever possible in terms of providing briefs and support, and we're open to what the committee has to say in terms of how we best we can support you. Thank you.
Thank you. We're not open for comments. Questions? I think for the people.
I was raising my hand.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. Thank you, Chet. You see, it took us an hour to get this load of work, or less than an hour, but you could see now from the presentation, Chair, how humongous is the work before us. I think, Chair, there is also, I'm not sure if it might be there in the presentation, but I think there is a report that certain committees were asked to do by Parliament itself, presiding officers, if I remember correct. Is that the equality report? I'm sure the researchers will remind me. I think it's called equality report or quality something, but it's a report that was done around these sectors, and I think Justice Department itself was part of the committee, was part of the that committee, and I think there were hearings. It was quite a big process, Chair. And that report, I'm not sure Parliament has acted. Presiding officers must, I think that report must be resuscitated. It's got quite a number of content issues that I think needs to be recalled and also be used going forward. But Chair, the proposal I'm making, before going into strengthen, it would be nice to hear the department so far, whoever is there, whether it's just the clerk, maybe the clerk has got a paper that she typed or he typed for the planners of the department, you know, to say, no, we're going to have this kind of machinery or this kind of structure. And I'm not sure if the presenters have got that. Just an indication of the structure, Chair, because also if it's a new department, we don't know if there's a director or they're only operating with clerks only, you know, whether there will be a DG, or a DDG, there will be a research unit. We have no clue of that thing. It's quite important to see if we're going to be effective. We can't monitor something that has no power itself, even if it doesn't have budget, but at least if there are people with capacity, the levels of the rankings in the department becomes quite important. So I want to emphasize that especially they might have a clue on it, if they could share that. If they don't have a clue, we need the department as well to come and say to us what kind of structure they're putting up for the department. Thanks, Chair.
If you could remember the previous meeting, I did raise the issue of
Chairperson, yes, earlier the honourable members pointed out that there was a review of the Act, Prevention of Discrimination and Promotion of Equality Act, and that was a very comprehensive process. Parliament put three significant resources into that, and we had a public meeting with the disability sector, with the women, etc. If I may be controversial and say that I don't think we've done justice in terms of engaging with the recommendations of that report. So I think it would be a very valuable exercise to pull that report out and really have them and the recommendations around the sectors and looking at how the committee can engage in some of that because there's definitely a room to do more there. In terms of the structure of the ministry, the department, the agreement was that the department would be structured along the same lines as other departments that have the same kind of clout. So you would have a director general heading up the department, and then you would have the department broken up into units. So you'd have a unit on children, a unit on women, and then one on a person with disability, and one on the elderly. And you'd have a deputy, a DDG, heading up each of those units. Each of those units are mandated to come up with a national plan of action. So for children, for example, we have the National Plan of Action of Children and the National Plan of Action of Women, and that's really the vision in terms of what they're going to accomplish, and that's the plan that we would need to oversee and make sure that the department we hold the department to account on that. So yes, you know, there would be a DG, and then there would be a DCDC in any of each of the units. I think that it is critical to call the, you know, they're probably cutting the process of being set up, they're hiring staff, a number of administrators have been placed, etc. So they're not yet fully operational, but it is possible that, you know, at some point that they may, it is possible to call the minister. She has come to the PC, to talk to the PC. So at this point, at the point when she came to the PC, there was no draft strategic plan for the department. Now there is. So, you know, it adds great value to invite her to come and talk to that. There's also a document which we could make available which could come out, it's addressed by the minister, and it speaks to the draft, to some of the components of the draft strategic plan. And I think that, you know, that it would add value to do that possibly either at the beginning of the strategic planning session, because that is the intention of the portfolio committee, when they start the strategic started by inviting the minister to talk, or before going into the speech, planning to invite the minister to address the committee. Just on the yeah, there was an issue on the budget earlier, Chairperson, and yes, it's correct to say that this committee has 450,000 at its disposal, which isn't much, and there is a process that is looking at how we allocate, how we elicit additional resources from trade, from national treasury. But the department also has a budget. What I was trying to clarify earlier is that in the interim period, it hasn't been budgeted for by February. So, elections were restructuring happened in May, and what had to happen was they decided from the federal, from the presidency vote in the interim, with the view that there would be a separate vote created for the department. So, it's the same as a fully fledged department, any other department, you know, it's not really the same.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't know, Chairperson. I wanted to know from the lady, but I don't know whether last time when I was in this committee, last term, when I said that there was a problem in the docket where they said that maybe if there's a case in the abuse or children abuse or women abuse, and then when they came to the college there was a missing of dockets, and so I want to know from them what is this, or can we call the justice department and explain what is this, because there's that abuse in the police station about the miss of the of missing of the dockets.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Basically, to follow up what I have on the previous speaker's questions, and that is, I'm very worried. If I'm listening to you, and there's a lot of draft policies, and we are everything is not really in place, and I recognize that is a new ministry, and there's a lot to be done before we can function as we want to be function. But there must be cut-off dates. I want to know what is the cut-off date in the department for everything to be in place so that we, if you look at the, that's a very, very important committee. We handled women, we handled children, and that is the places we've got all the problems in our communities. So if we can't function well and active very fast, we are going to get behind, and things will escalate in our communities. So I really want to see that there's cut-off date, and when is the cut-off date when everything will be in place in the department. Thank you.
My comment is around the late submission of the past. I think we also need to improve on this, you know, it's the same. The way it's calculated, you can see the 10 years of not reporting. South Africa being South Africa in Africa. I mean, what does that mean, you know? So I think we really need to improve on that. And I think also set ourselves time. Because if you don't do that, then you start to hear something and and also try to focus, you know, have our peace. If you go to the last, I think it's the last page, not last, there's a proposed thing. Yeah, the last page of the conversation. I think for me, what you are proposing on 2009, it should be ongoing. We can't have those things. We had them already. And what is key now? For me, what you can flex as things is what you are proposing on 2011, 2012. People want to hear us coming with tangible things on poverty eradication, on SME, access to finance, employment equity, and all that. So for me, I think it's relevant. 13 for 2009 and 30 times. If maybe we can sanitize those ones. And maybe try to also get what you're proposing for 2012. Access to quality education, because if you could remember, education is a key priority of this government. So if you can also prioritize that for this year's theme, special needs schools and all that, if you can prioritize all the programs that are in line with what the government has set itself as their own focus. I think 2020 and 2012, if we agree that we make them our priorities for 2009 and 2010. So basically that's what I wanted to say. And also maybe for the purpose of the strategic plan, because majority of us were not here the previous term, it will be of importance that when we present, we don't say the department must be with it. We also provide solutions or we recommend, because of the I regard yourself as the people who are more vested with issues more than us, moreover that we hear the previous term and all that. So I would request that when we present, we also come with solutions and recommendations that will assist the committee. I don't know if there's any other issue that members would want to raise.
Chairperson, Mr. Commissioner, this one is also to extract the access to healthcare and social services to 209, then 210.
Okay. I think the proposed thing, like you said, yes, it's fine. We can also extract it with it to the 209 and 210. But when we go to our strategic plan, we need to start thinking around that, you know, what is it that we really want to do to achieve for this crisis? Because in general, honestly speaking, we won't be able to achieve everything, given time and resources that are there. So we need to focus and come up with a clear plan as to what is it that we want to do. But for me, what you're proposing for 2011 and 2012, if we can set those things as our priorities for the coming 5 years, I think we'll be able to make a mark after the end of the term. I don't know if you want to respond to that.
That is an issue of tremendous concern, and I think, you know, the Suriname Women's Center in Kaohsiung has actually done a research study on this, on how particularly women would lay cases around rape and how the justice system here. And I think that the big problem there has been that the police now have a role, not just in dealing with and addressing crime and crime prevention. And the debate is now shifting to say, yes, there's a need to do crime prevention, but should it be the police? Because in reality, they don't have the resources and they're not doing that well. And so because they're responsible for crime prevention, they now are brought into the performance management that, you know, in terms of the crime statistics, how did you prevent crime, and the lower the stats are, then the better you're doing. And so the debate is now around, should we be taking that responsibility of crime prevention and locating it elsewhere so that their job is to address crime, and that it isn't this thing around trying to mess with the facts of which we look good. And that they then put their resources into addressing the issues. But currently having it as part of their performance measurement to reduce statistics is in the interest to actually hire statistics. And you know, I think that, you know, the statistics behind is not necessarily currently as being associated with it. If statistics are high, we need to panic. You know, it's not necessarily that. It could be that for whatever reason, people have more confidence in the police system, and so there's more an increase in reporting. And to shift the debate away from the fear factor around, because we are managed by a drop in the decline statistics, it's
try and actually hide them. But there is research that speaks to actual case studies of incidents where this has been done, particularly here around race. In terms of a cut-off date for putting everything in place, we can't speak to the department state because we're not from the department. In terms of separation of powers, there's a very clear separation between the executive, which is the department, and the legislative, which is us as parliament. Our job is to hold the department to account and to ask them for what are their plans, what are the dates, and to make sure that they deliver on that. For now, what they have articulated is a draft plan is in place, but a final plan would be submitted to parliament by October. So for now, we can call them and we can be proactive and we can say, let's engage with them about the draft plan. And then let's hold you to your commitment that you've made, a commitment to tabling a final plan in October. The late submission of reports is a huge problem. And if I may say so, part of, you know, in engaging with some of the people in civil society, some of the responses, and from the gender machine as well, some of the responses we get, and this is kind of the informal conversations, I had one of the commissioners for gender equality say to me, we have to submit our financial, how we account our finances to Parliament. But if Parliament doesn't hold us to account, then you can get away with anything. So when we talk about the rest of the country reports, also our problem as Parliament is not having held the structures to account for launched reporting. And I think that that's the role of the committee, to make sure that never and never and never again happens. If we call the structures, we have to report to account. In terms of just the thematic areas, I take the point that the priority is around poverty, economic development, and so on. And we can easily do that. But just to say that I think we need to go through the step-by-step exercise as well to say what is realistic. Because if we talk about 2009 and now saying get to health care in 2009 and poverty and economic development and education and skills development, realistically we are now in the second term. We need to do step-by-step, we need to call the department to get a sense of where they're going, and half a year has gone by. So it's really about saying also how do we set, and within work of policy, how do we set clear targets for the fact that we have about 5 months left of work, maybe four, and what can we realistically achieve and do that well. So I think through the stress plan, you know, we need to go through that process and say, if we're focusing on policy for now, what exactly are we going to do? In 2010, we set it as a priority again. But again, you know, realistically, what can be attained? Rather than setting objectives that are very ambitious and then we set ourselves up for failure in a sense. But that's something that we don't have to do now. We can do through planning in terms of saying, you know, which objectives specifically.
Thank you. Just to indicate to members, when the ministry briefs the portfolio committee, at that particular briefing, they indicated the minister had a PA, she had a special advisor, there was a director general. So those are the kind of four people in addition to working with all the members from the Office of the Rights of the Child, Office of the Status for Women, and the Office of the Status for Disabled Persons. In terms of the strategic planning, they had a planning workshop in last week. It's a draft plan. We were hoping to receive it today. They're due to present their draft plan to our portfolio committee on Tuesday morning at our strategic planning. So when we obtain the draft plan, we'll forward it to Ayanda to make available to the committee. Thank you.
I would not want to say that we should also go back and say who has been attending for the past 10 years. want those people to account, but I'm just saying, on a lighter note, let us keep up. Let us try, work, and make sure that we close the gap and we report. Because it's a requirement and we've agreed to it. If other countries are participating, they're reporting. Why are we not reporting? So there's no excuse. We have resources. We have human warm bodies, highly skilled and trained people that can do that. So there's no excuse. People must account. I don't know if there's any other issue that members would want to raise. Okay, in the interest of time, I want to thank you, and also say that maybe members should continuously engage with this document because it will be able to guide us during the strategic planning. Maybe we can just spend 15 minutes and interrogate the draft process. I don't know if members have copies of the draft process. If we look at the draft program, if we look at the draft program, dates were not changed. We wanted to stick to the previous dates that we had proposed, and really we are far behind schedule because this meeting that we're having today, we were supposed to have taken place on the 10th of July, and our second meeting is supposed to be on the 7th August, which is today. We're supposed to be meeting with the minister. The minister of the department, so that they can come and present to us. So if I had my way, I could have said we have two separate meetings. We have this one, then immediately after this one, we then invite the minister and the department to come and present to us. But already, members were raising issues of time and, so we need to agree because that meeting is very, very important. We need to have that meeting before the strategic plan. 14th of August, I don't know if this would still be possible. It won't be possible. So it means what we're proposing from April today until the 18th of September, we're going to have changes. I'm going to request that members should not worry about dates. If there are any topic or agenda that you would want us to put as part of the draft program, they should do so now. If they do have, if they don't, they should do so via the secretary. Before next week Wednesday, we'll have a new draft program with new dates. Dates members should not worry about, but if they have topics or agendas that they feel that they strongly feel that they should form part of this draft program, they should do so. I don't know, Mr. Zibande, did you get your copy? No. Okay. Please make sure that every time we cater for, every time we do that, we cater for all members. Okay, members, I don't know if there's anything that you want to raise or comment. Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Hopefully that members will send other issues that are not here that we that the strong issue that we need to go into oversight on, or that is not just you, we'll try and prioritize it.
I don't know if they hold God, but I would say the veterans. trying to re-energize people to take up active day-to-day something. I am part of what they are doing, but I'm not sure hyperactive and supposed to. Maybe Ari, the one guy there that
Thank you.